BBC Radio 3 celebrates Christmas with its annual day of Christmas music from around Europe. Radio stations across the continent come together in a musical celebration of the Christmas season, starting tomorrow lunchtime at 12 noon on BBC Radio 3.
And that'll be presented by Louise Fryer. Hello, I'm John Shea with you this Saturday afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. Today's early music show is in a couple of minutes, but now at 1 o'clock, here's the latest BBC news. Flags are flying at half-mast across the United States as people mourn the deaths of 20 young children and 7 adults in the state of Connecticut. A gunman, who's been named as 20-year-old Adam Lanza, went on a shooting spree at a school after killing his mother, who taught there. He then killed himself. President Obama has called for meaningful action to prevent similar tragedies happening again. The family of the nurse found dead after being deceived by a prank phone call about the Duchess of Cambridge have attended a service at Westminster Cathedral. In a joint statement, the children of Jacinta Saldana described their mother as the core of their family and said her death had left an unfillable void. Hundreds of people have linked arms to encircle Belfast City Hall during a prayer vigil in response to trouble in Northern Ireland over the past fortnight. The violence was sparked by a decision to restrict the flying of the Union flag over the building. People in Egypt have begun voting on a controversial constitution, which has provoked violent demonstrations. Last night, there were more clashes in Alexandria between presidential supporters and opponents of the charter. The president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, says he wants to accelerate the process of transferring security in his country from NATO-led troops to Afghan forces. Speaking at a gathering of foreign diplomats in the capital, Kabul, Mr. Karzai said Afghan forces would take full responsibility for security next year in advance of the withdrawal of NATO-led troops. A second cruise ship has been affected by an outbreak of the winter vomiting bug norovirus. P&O says 10 people have been taken ill aboard the Azura, which docked in Southampton this morning. Yesterday, the company apologised to more than 400 passengers who fell ill on another of its liners, the Oriana. And the weather. There'll be sunshine and blustery showers for most parts, with the showers most frequent and heavy across western and southern areas. The far north, though, will see further rain and hill snow. And that's the news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at almost 3 minutes past one. So, now it's time for today's early music show. Here's Lucy Skeeping.
In the spring of 1545, a Spanish composer undertook the long and uncomfortable journey from Italy back to his native land. He'd been working in Rome for some 10 years and had already had bouts of serious ill health, possibly the beginnings of malaria. Not that he was looking forward to a period of rest or anything. His destination was the hilltop town of Toledo, where, far from taking it easy, he'd secured the post of Kapellmeister at the cathedral, one of the most prestigious musical positions in Spain, in fact. Now aged 45, he was firmly established as the greatest Spanish composer of his age. And yet, as we're going to hear, for various reasons, what promised to be a fresh start turned out to be a bit of a disaster. The composer I'm talking about is the subject of today's early music show, and his name is Cristobal de Morales.
Thank you.
Capella Real de Catalunya, directed by Jordi Savall, with Secundo Notturno from Cristobal Morales' Officium Defunctorum. In his time, Morales was dubbed the light of Spain in music. And no wonder, he was the first Spanish composer to make his name internationally, and his works were widely disseminated, even as far away as the New World, where we know that in 1559, the piece we've just heard was performed by a Mexican choir in Mexico City. The occasion was the grand and, by all accounts, colourful funeral of the Emperor Charles V, and the colonial governor, the archbishop and the nobility were all in attendance, along with some 2,000 Indians, all dressed in suitably sombre attire. By then, Morales himself had already been dead for some 6 years, but a work by him was still a natural choice for such a high-profile event. Sacred music was what he was known for. Indeed, only a tiny handful of his output is secular. Everything else he composed for the church. Born in Seville around 1500, Morales was fiercely proud of his Spanish roots. And he had every right to be, because Seville was blessed with an exceptional musical heritage. The very first printed Spanish music books appeared there in the 1490s. "Printed in the chief city of the world," declared the publisher on the title page. And the three principal Spanish composers of the age were based there at the cathedral. So Morales certainly had no need to look beyond his home city, for his early studies at least. At the age of 26, though, we find him in Avila in central Spain, in his first professional appointment as director of music at the cathedral. Over the next 9 years, he moved to similar posts, each time increasing his salary and reputation and learning and absorbing the liturgical music of his Spanish forebears, along with that of Franco-Flemish masters like Josquin and Gombert. Let's hear one of Morales' motets. It's one of four linked pieces, all based on an earlier setting by the Renaissance French composer Philippe Verdelot, a piece Spanish composers seem to be drawn to because Morales was one of three who made settings of the work. "Holy Mary, help those who suffer, strengthen the faint-hearted, comfort the sorrowful."
Thank you.
Santa Maria Secure Miseris by the Spanish composer Cristobal de Morales and performed by the Brabant Ensemble directed by Stephen Rice. It's been said that Morales' music doesn't sound quintessentially Spanish, at least not when you compare him to some of the great Spanish composers like Vitoria, who came after him. But then, although he did return to Spain towards the end of his life, much of his career was spent in Italy, where in 1535 he became a member of the Papal Choir in Rome. The Pope at the time, Paul III, was exceptionally interested in music, and during his tenure he increased the number of singers considerably. What's more, the choir had a long tradition of employing Spanish singers, so Morales must have felt very much at home. On the very same day that Morales was appointed, probably as one of the baritones, the Pope commissioned Michelangelo to paint the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel, and its creation over 4 years must have provided an incredibly inspirational backdrop to Morales' time there. In fact, he was even singing in the choir for its unveiling ceremony in 1541. Of course, one of the advantages of being part of such a fantastic group of singers was that Morales' own music could be performed, and frequently that meant in front of some of the most powerful figures in Europe. His setting of the Jubilate Deo that we're going to hear now, for instance, was written for the peace treaty between Charles V and François I. Not that Pope actually managed to bring these two great men together in one place, but Morales' work duly celebrated the signing with two movements in which, over a traditional plain chant, the singers proclaim the merits of the Pope, the Emperor, and the King.
Oh.
Cristobal de Morales setting of Jubilate Deo, performed there by the Chapelle du Roi, directed by Alistair Dixon. Morales spent some 10 years in the papal choir. The pay was good, in fact quite generous at times. He was now composing in earnest, and by the spring of 1540, having served his first 5 years there, he was due for an official period of leave. He returned to Spain, and a steady stream of publications followed. But gradually ill health set in, particularly bad during the winter months when he had to take further leave to recuperate. This was the beginnings of the illness, possibly malaria, which would eventually carry him off in his 53rd year. And perhaps it was this which drew Morales to the text of the work we're going to hear now, his six-voice mass, Missa si bona sesepimus. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return.
Thank you.
the final section of Misa si bona sacepimus by Cristobal de Morales, published in 1526, the Talis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips. When the time came for Morales' second period of paid leave from the papal choir, he resigned. We can't be sure why, but it looks as though he was now actively searching for a better paid job, with the Grand Duke of Tuscany, Cosimo Medici, perhaps, because we know Morales sent him a letter promising to dedicate all future works to him if he would make him one of his court musicians. Although this came to nothing, Morales nevertheless left Rome for his native Spain, carrying with him, of course, manuscripts of his many works, including one which we're going to hear part of in a moment, his six-voice mass, Mil Regrets. The piece survives in two different versions, one almost certainly from 1536 that was performed for the Emperor Charles V. In fact, the score is decorated with an image of Charles and his emblem, the double-headed eagle. And the other, a published version of some 8 years later, which may have been heard in Toledo during Lent. Certainly its mournful text would make it suitable for that season. Here's the Gabrielli Consort with the Credo from the Mass.
Thank you.
the credo from Misa Mil Regrets by Cristobal de Morales, performed by the Gabrieli Consort, directed by Paul McCreesh. You're listening to the Early Music Show here on Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping. It does seem strange that a composer who was now so widely acclaimed and whose music had been performed for the great and good all over Europe should have had to pass a test to take up the job of maestro di cappella at Toledo Cathedral. It was, however, Spain's primatial see, the most splendid, the richest and the best staffed in the whole of Spain, according to the Archbishop. And so Morales, alumni of Rome's prestigious papal choir, must have seemed a perfect choice. Unfortunately, what the authorities hadn't taken into account was his rather tricky character. Being musical director meant closely working with singers and instrumentalists and to strict performance deadlines, not to mention budgeting and administration tasks. And Morales was not only unpopular, but regularly on sick leave. In fact, he composed very little in Toledo. Almost everything we have dates from his Roman years. Several masses, over 100 motets, at least 5 settings of the Lamentations, and 18 settings of the Magnificat, which are the works of his that are probably most often heard today. We're going to hear one of them now, the Magnificat Octavi Toni. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. a setting of the Magnificat by the 16th century Spanish composer Cristobal de Morales. Polyhymna and the choristers of Winchester Cathedral were directed by Richard Childress. Well, with Morales now musical director of Toledo Cathedral, we've arrived at the point in his life where we began the programme. And in a sense, you could call it the beginning of the end, because not only did he prove unpopular to work with, but he ran into debt. And even musically, the job didn't suit him. He'd made his name writing a cappella or unaccompanied choral works. But the organ was one of the main features of the music at Toledo Cathedral and was not to be dispensed with. Morales' now severe illness added to his woes, and within a couple of years, he renounced his position. It had been an unhappy time, and a few months later, he was dead. His fame, though, held strong, right on into the 18th century. His biographer pronounced him the Papal Chapel's most important composer, and for both his compositions and his singing, Morales was more acclaimed than any other Spanish musician of the age. It would be two centuries before another of his countrymen, Vitoria, received the same levels of praise. We're going to end today with part of Morales' Missa pro Defunctus, performed by the Gabrielli Consort. It was written in Rome in 1544 and became known across Europe and even into the New World, where copies still survive in the cathedral archives of Guatemala, Peru and Mexico. In fact, the work may have been sung in Mexico some 6 years after Morales' death as part of the colonial New Spain ceremonies. This is the first section, the Introitus. Grant them eternal rest, O Lord, and may light eternal shine upon them.
The Introitus Requiem Aeternam from Cristobal de Morales' Missa pro Defunctis of 1544. The Gabrielli Consort was directed by Paul McCreesh. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Sam Phillips. And there's more choral music here on Radio 3 on Wednesday evening.
Christmas on BBC Radio 3. Work that no Christmas should be without. Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on Christmas Carols. It's part of a feast of English music for Christmas from the BBC Singers and the BBC Concert Orchestra. Radio 3, live in concert, Wednesday night at 7:30 here on Radio 3.
And that's with Christopher Cook. Well, in an hour from now, the American tenor Noah Stewart is the guest presenter of Saturday Classics. That's at 3. But now, at a little after 2 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3, another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime recital. It's introduced by Sean Rafferty.
Good afternoon and welcome to a recital here at Wigmore Hall by the pianist Barry Douglas. He has just begun recording the complete piano works of Brahms and Schubert. The first disc is already out and very well received. You will have had an exclusive preview here on Radio 3 if you heard his recent recital from Clandeboy in County Down, one of the two festivals he founded in Ireland to bring great players and young musicians together. The cream of them find their way into Camerata Ireland, the orchestra, which further mentors them and provides real inspiration. Barry's recordings of the Beethoven piano concertos with them have been a huge success. Well, his recital today is all Brahms, one of the early and passionate sonatas, his calling card and introduction to Robert and Clara Schumann, who hailed him as a genius. He was just 20. And one of the intensely personal set of little pieces that he wrote late in life, his first works for piano in over 10 years. There's no swagger or bombast here. They're intimate, reflective. Brahms called them, indeed, cradle songs of my sorrows. There are three intermezzos in this Opus 117 set we're to hear. The first in E-flat, a lullaby, Schlaf sanft, mein Kind, Schlaf sanft und schön, a German translation that doesn't quite give the idiom of the original, which is from an old Scottish ballad called Lady Anne Bothwell's Lament. Baloo, my boy, lie still and sleep, it grieves me sair to hear thee weep. The second intermezzo, B-flat minor, the final in C-sharp minor, to be played sotto voce. And here to perform these intimate pieces by Brahms, Barry Douglas.